So I want you to imagine standing on a pitcher's mound, right? You're winding up and you're throwing a baseball.
Okay, with you.
But instead of following, a single clean arc right into the catcher's mitt, that baseball simultaneously takes literally every conceivable path.
Right, every path at once.
Yeah, it loops around the stadium, it tunnels through the dirt, it hovers in the air, just exploring all possible trajectories at the exact same time, right up until the exact millisecond the catcher closes their glove.
Which is a classic quantum behavior, yeah.
Exactly. But now imagine that same baseball happens to weigh as much as a dying star.
Oh, wow. I know.
Yeah. If you ask a physicist to calculate what happens next, the mathematics of our universe don't just get like complicated, they literally break down.
They completely shatter. I mean, they really do. Because you're basically asking the universe to apply two fundamentally opposed sets of rules to the exact same object at the exact same time.
Right.
You're demanding the probabilistic multiple path reality of the very small, which is quantum mechanics, and trying to force it to coexist with the heavy, gravity warping determinism of the very large, which is general relativity.
And for, gosh, nearly a century, that breaking point has been the ultimate brick wall in theoretical
Oh,
physics.
absolutely. The biggest wall.
But that is exactly why we're unpacking this DLB paradox-lying framework today. Because if you are a student, the fiercely curious listener who really wants to finally grasp how quantum mechanics and general relativity might actually
Oh,
unite.
this is the deep dive for you.
Exactly. Consider this a masterclass. You've probably been taught that these two theories are just enemies, but today we're going to explore how they're not a binary choice. It's more of a fluid, dynamic, balance equation.
Right, a negotiation.
Yeah, that the universe constantly adjusts. And here is the key for any student taking notes. It depends entirely on the scale you're looking at. Scale adaptation is the secret here.
It really is. And to truly grasp this unification, you have to abandon, well, what is arguably the most deeply ingrained dogma in science right now. You have to let go of the idea that there's a single static theory of everything just waiting to be discovered.
Like some pristine master equation.
Exactly. Some equation that just eternally rules everything,
Yeah.
everywhere, all at once. The framework we're exploring today suggests that reality doesn't have one underlying code like
It's
that.
more active than that.
Much more active. Reality is a continuous active negotiation between different physical descriptions.
I want to dig right into that negotiation, actually, because before we can understand how they unite, we really have to look mechanically at why they fight so much.
Right, the root of the conflict.
Yeah. Let's look at what the framework maps out as the three tensions, because this isn't just about, the math being hard to merge. This is a fundamental clash of how reality is architected.
Totally. So the first tension is what they call elegance versus fruitfulness.
Okay, break that down for us.
So quantum mechanics, or QM, operates on mathematical elegance. It uses these things called Hilbert spaces.
And for the listener, a Hilbert space isn't like a physical room you can walk into.
No, not at all. It's an abstract, infinite dimensional mathematical space. It's where you map out the probabilities of what a particle might do.
Right.
It's pristine. It's linear.
Yeah.
It handles probability perfectly.
But then you have general relativity, or GR. And GR does not care about abstract probability spaces at all.
Not even a little bit.
It is purely fruitful. I mean, Einstein said gravity isn't even a force, right? It's the literal physical warping of space-time. It's tangible geometry.
Yes. Tangible is the perfect word.
So tension number one is basically trying to map abstract, invisible probabilities onto a physical bending grid. It just doesn't fit.
And that leads directly into the second tension,
Yeah.
which is stability versus plasticity.
Oh, this one is fascinating.
Right. So QM is highly delicate. To measure those probabilities we just talked about, QM requires a completely stable, totally unmoving background.
It needs a fixed stage.
Exactly. A fixed stage to perform its mathematical ballet.
But GR dictates that the stage itself is made of rubber. The presence of any mass at all warps and stretches the background. So you can't calculate a precise quantum probability if the actual coordinate system you're using is just constantly morphing under your feet.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the third tension. And this is the one that really defines the whole conflict.
Exploration versus exploitation.
Precisely. QM is the ultimate explorer. Through superposition, it explores every single possible state simultaneously, like your baseball analogy.
Right, leaving no stone unturned.
Exactly. It searches this whole abstract space.
Yeah.
GR, conversely, is a rigid exploiter of geometry. It demands strict determinism.
Meaning things only happen one way.
Right. An object moving through curved space-time follows one unique, perfectly determined path. It's called a geodesic.
A geodesic, right.
Yeah. It exploits the curvature of space to find the singular, quote-unquote, correct trajectory.
So let's visualize this for the student listening using something we use every day, right? A digital map app on your phone.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Imagine QM as a setting on your map that wants to calculate every possible side street, you know, every alleyway, every dirt path you could potentially take to your destination. And it wants to do it all at the exact same time.
Right, calculating every possibility.
But GR is the setting that looks at the heavy topography, the mountains, the rivers, and it forces you onto the one single massive highway that dictates the terrain.
Yeah.
If you try to run both of those navigation settings on the exact same processor for the exact same trip, the app crashes.
The logic just totally contradicts itself.
Exactly.
But here is the crucial insight of the paradox laying framework. This contradiction isn't a flaw in our understanding.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Usually physicists look at this and say, we just haven't found the right math yet. We're missing a piece of the puzzle.
Right. The elusive unified theory.
But this framework argues the exact opposite. It says this tension is the fundamental architecture of reality.
The universe literally needs the tension.
Yes. Yeah. It requires this tension to function.
Okay, but if the universe requires it, what happens when these two navigation systems physically collide? Because in the real world, they actually do.
They do, and that creates paradoxes.
Right, so let's break down the first one, the wave-particle geodesic paradox. If QM says our massive baseball from earlier is exploring all paths, and GR says it has to follow one heavy curve, what is the object actually doing in physical space?
Well, the framework proposes something pretty radical here. It suggests the object's trajectory literally oscillates.
Oscillates.
Yeah, it flickers between these interpretations, acting probabilistically, then deterministically, back and forth, really fast.
Until what?
Until something called a question graph collapses.
Okay, hold on. I got to challenge that for a second. Are we saying reality is just indecisive? Like, I'm picturing a squirrel darting back and forth in the middle of the road, unsure if it should be a wave or a particle.
That's funny, but no, it's not indecision. It's computation.
Computation.
In this framework, you have to think of the universe as a computational system. A question graph is essentially a network of physical interactions.
Okay.
The object oscillates because the universe is actively processing the conflicting parameters of the environment.
Oh, I see.
The paradox is only resolved, meaning the object takes a definitive state when an interaction forces a specific outcome. The universe calculates the probabilities until the environment demands an answer.
Okay, so if physical interaction is what forces the universe to, you know, provide an answer, what happens when you introduce a space where interaction is physically cut off?
Ah, now you're thinking of black holes.
Exactly. That brings up the measurement horizon paradox. Cause in QM, an observer interacting with the system is what collapses all those probabilities into one reality.
Right.
But a black hole has an event horizon. It's a boundary of gravity so intense that not even light escapes, meaning information is permanently hidden from the outside universe.
Which creates a massive logical loop.
Right. If information falls past the horizon, it can't interact with the outside observer. And if it can't interact, who or what is forcing the quantum state to collapse?
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
But the resolution the framework proposes is that the black hole's event horizon itself acts as the observer.
Okay, let's explain the mechanism there for the listeners. Because how can a curve in empty space act as an observer? Usually an observer implies like a particle bouncing off another particle, like a photon hitting a camera sensor.
Sure. But in extreme gravity, the geometry of space-time becomes so warped and so dominant that it physically shears away the quantum superpositions.
Wow.
Yeah, the sheer mathematical weight of the space-time curvature forces a definitive state. The boundary itself acts as the interaction.
So just crossing the line is the measurement.
Exactly. Information crossing that threshold is physically measured by the extreme geometry of the horizon, which forces the quantum probabilities to collapse.
Man, that naturally spirals into the third major conflict, the unitarity information paradox.
Yep, the big one.
Because a core law of QM is that information is never lost. It is always conserved, no matter what. But Stephen Hawking famously used GR to calculate that black holes slowly evaporate over time.
Hawking radiation, right?
Yeah, they leak radiation, and eventually they just disappear entirely. So if the black hole vanishes, what happens to all the quantum information it swallowed?
Right. According to GR, it's just destroyed.
Which, according to QM, is highly illegal.
Highly illegal. But the framework resolves this much like it resolves the trajectory of an object, the information isn't definitively destroyed, and it's not rigidly preserved in a classical sense either.
It oscillates again.
You guessed it. It oscillates between these states within the system until the overarching systemic tension resolves it.
Okay, this is where we really need to step back. Because if reality is oscillating and calculating and using horizons to measure data, what is running the calculator?
That is the big question.
This brings us to the most profound shift in the source material, physics as learned dynamics. The framework introduces this concept of the universe having a cognitive state.
It is a complete paradigm shift.
Right.
I mean, the framework defines this cognitive state with highly specific dynamic parameters.
Like what?
For example, there's a variable called alpha QM.
Alpha QM.
Right. This represents the mathematical weight the universe is currently placing on quantum coherence.
So on allowing superpositions and probabilities.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you have beta GR, which is the weight placed on geometric determinism, or, you know, gravity.
I really want to make sure the student listener is tracking this mechanism, because we are moving really far away from static equations here.
Very far.
We aren't talking about something like E equals MC squared that just, you know, sits there passively. We're talking about the universe actively utilizing something akin to machine learning.
It's remarkably similar, yeah.
Is reality literally using an algorithm to figure out which physics to apply at any given moment?
That is precisely the mechanism. The universe is acting as an intelligent physical system, navigating what's called a balanced manifold.
A balanced manifold.
Yeah. Think of machine learning. There's a concept called natural gradient descent.
Oh, yeah?
Imagine a ball rolling down a really complex, hilly landscape.
Yeah.
Always seeking the lowest, most stable valley.
Right.
The universe is doing this with physical laws. It's continuously adjusting those weights, the alpha and the beta, rolling down the mathematical hills to minimize the contradiction and the tension in its environment.
So it's constantly tweaking the dials, like how much QM and how much GR should I apply right now to minimize the paradoxes?
Okay.
And the sources even mention Noether-inspired conservation laws governing this, which is super cool.
Oh, yeah. Emmy Noether.
Emmy Noether was this brilliant mathematician who proved that every symmetry in nature has a corresponding conservation law.
Right, like because time is symmetric, energy is conserved.
Exactly. And in this framework, there is a symmetry between QM and GR. If you adjust the alpha weight up, the beta weight mathematically has to adjust to compensate, so their product remains constant.
Yep.
The actual balance between the two theories is literally a conserved quantity of our universe.
It ensures that neither theory ever completely annihilates the other. The universe just shifts the balance of power based on the demands of the environment.
And that leads to the absolute core focus of today's deep dive. This is the big one for any student listening.
Pay attention to this part.
If the universe is dynamically rolling down these hills, you know, constantly tweaking the dials of QM and GR to maintain balance, what's the primary input? What tells the universe when to turn up the quantum dial and turn down the gravity dial?
The answer is scale adaptation.
Scale adaptation. Let's dig into that.
Scale adaptation is the engine of this entire framework. The universe introduces a parameter called lambda scale.
Okay.
The balance equations, how much alpha or beta is applied, are strictly dictated by the physical size of the regime you are observing.
Let's bring back our map app analogy to explain the mechanics of this, because I think it visualizes the scale parameter perfectly.
It really does.
At the macroscopic scale, so planets, stars, galaxies, general relativity completely dominates. The universe dials beta GR up to maximum, and the quantum weight alpha drops to basically zero.
Right. And why does it do that?
Because computing the probabilistic quantum path of every single atom in a star would break the universe's processing power.
Exactly. It's too much data.
So, like a map app zoomed out to the state level, it stops rendering individual pedestrians and trash cans. It only renders the massive, smooth, predictable highways of gravity.
But as you zoom in, as you look at the atomic or subatomic scale, the exact opposite happens.
The weights flip.
They flip. The universe drops the gravity weight, beta. Because the geometric curvature at that scale is just negligible. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And it turns the quantum weight alpha up to maximum.
So the map app zooms into the street view. It fades out the continental highways and heavily renders the complex, erratic movements of the individual pedestrian.
Exactly. The physical laws physically change based on the zoom level.
But the most fascinating question here, and the one that breaks traditional physics, is what happens at the exact border?
Yes.
What happens when you zoom in just enough that the universe is forced to render both the massive highway and the tiny pedestrian at the exact same time with equal detail?
You're referring to the crossover regime. It's often mapped to the mesoscopic or the Planck scale.
Right.
At this specific scale, neither theory is dominant. The universe sets both the quantum weight and the gravity weight to medium.
But that would cause a crash, right?
It would. But to prevent the system from crashing, a third parameter, gamma coherence, reaches its absolute maximum.
Let's define gamma coherence for a sec. It's basically the universe's internal drive for consistency, right?
Pretty much.
It's the mathematical weight placed on making sure the two theories don't produce a paradox that just tears reality apart.
Correct. The universe is expending maximum computational effort to make them agree. But the framework reveals that at the absolute extreme limit of this scale, the exact Planck scale, the effort actually fails.
It fails.
Yeah. The balance manifold, that hilly landscape the universe uses to calculate these weights, completely breaks down. It hits what the framework calls a balance singularity.
Okay, now we need to be very careful with the word singularity here.
Yes, very careful.
Because in traditional physics, a singularity, like at the very center of a black hole or the moment of the Big Bang, that means infinite density.
Right.
It's a point where gravity becomes infinite, the math blows up, and physicists essentially just throw their hands up because the equation outputs total nonsense.
Exactly. A traditional singularity is just a failure of the theory. But in the paradox lying framework, it is not a physical object of infinite density.
What is it then?
It's a learning boundary.
A learning boundary. Meaning it's the rendering engine of our map realizing it absolutely cannot compute the conflicting data of the highway and the pedestrian. So it triggers a, what do they call it? A free will activation.
A free will activation, yes.
It completely resets. It wipes the parameters and requires entirely new rules to be learned. So the Big Bang wasn't an infinitely dense dot of matter exploding.
Yep.
It was the ultimate computational reset of the universe's learning algorithm.
It's wild, right? It gives a logical, mechanistic explanation for the origin of the universe.
Hmm.
And on top of that, it mechanically explains one of the most confusing concepts in modern physics.
Leonard Susskind's complementarity.
Exactly.
Ah, Susskind's thought experiment about the black hole. Walk us through how this framework solves that, because that one used to give me a major headache.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So Susskind proposed that if you have an observer falling into a black hole and another observer safely watching from the outside, they experience two completely different contradictory realities.
Right.
The outside observer sees the falling person burned up by radiation at the horizon, mm-hmm. but the falling person feels nothing and passes right through.
And Susskind argued both are mathematically valid, but they are complementary, meaning you can never communicate between the two, so the paradox is never technically exposed.
Right. But he never quite explained how the universe manages to hold those two contradictory truths at once without breaking.
It just felt like a loophole.
Exactly. But under this framework, we actually have the mechanism. The universe actively learns consistency across scales.
By using that gamma coherence parameter.
Yes. By spiking that gamma coherence parameter, the universe dynamically adjusts the physics for the outside observer, who is dealing with one scale of information, and the inside observer, who's dealing with another.
Wow.
It computes two different realities to prevent a universe-breaking paradox, proving there doesn't need to be one single absolute underlying reality.
The physical laws are custom rendered for each observer scale.
Exactly.
But, you know, a theoretical framework, no matter how elegant it sounds on a deep dive, is utterly useless if it can't be tested.
Oh, for sure. Science needs proof.
If the universe is a scale-dependent learning system, what are the physical predictions? How do we actually prove this?
Well, the sources outline highly specific, testable predictions. One of the most immediate is tension-driven corrections.
Okay, what does that look like?
The framework predicts that in areas where the tension between QM and GR is extreme, like just outside the event horizon of a black hole, the universe is really struggling to balance the weights.
The processor is lagging.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And because of that, we should physically be able to measure quantum corrections bleeding into gravitational waves.
Wait, really? So when observatories like LIGO detect those ripples in space-time from black holes colliding, we shouldn't just see smooth geometric waves.
No.
We should see the struggle, like tiny quantifiable quantum jitters embedded in the gravity waves, proving the universe is actively calculating the balance.
Exactly. It gives experimentalists a distinct mathematical signature to actually go look for.
That is incredible.
But conceptually, the most striking prediction is prediction 4, autonomous annealing.
Yes, the cooling down of the universe. Let's break down the mechanism of annealing for the student listening because it perfectly ties everything together.
So in physical metallurgy, or even in training artificial intelligence, annealing is a process where you start a system with very high heat or high energy.
Right.
And that allows it to rapidly explore many different states. Then you slowly cool it down so it settles into its most optimal, stable state.
Okay.
The framework dictates that the universe did exactly this. In the very early, incredibly hot moments after the Big Bang, the universe's exploration temperature was immense.
Going back to our third tension, exploration versus exploitation, QM is the explorer.
Right.
So immense heat meant the universe had massive computational energy to sustain endless quantum superpositions. It was running in maximum exploration mode, evaluating all possible realities.
But as space expanded, it naturally cooled. The exploration temperature dropped.
And as it cooled.
As it cooled, the system lost the energy required to maintain mass superpositions, forcing it to exploit the stable geometry of general relativity.
The universe literally cooled its exploration mode.
Yes, it autonomously settled into the classical deterministic physics we experience today.
It naturally cooled itself into GR. No outside force was required to set the laws of physics. The system learned to do it autonomously to stabilize its own internal logic.
Beautiful, isn't it? And this mechanism automatically solves the information paradox we discussed earlier.
Oh, right, the page curve.
Yeah. In physics, the page curve is basically an accounting ledger that tracks quantum information as it leaves an evaporating black hole.
Okay.
For decades, physicists couldn't figure out how the ledger balances without violating either QM or GR. But this framework shows that when the gamma coherence parameter is active, the system automatically enforces the page curve.
So the ledger balances not because of a magic static equation, but because the universe is dynamically adjusting its weights to preserve information while maintaining the black hole's geometry.
You nailed it. So to bring this all together for you, the student taking this all in,
Yeah.
the massive takeaway for your understanding of reality is realizing that the tension between quantum mechanics and general relativity is not a bug in the code of the universe.
Not at all. It's a feature. It is the dynamic equilibrium, the shifting weights, the map app zooming in and out that allows the entire cosmos to function. The universe doesn't choose between them. It continuously, actively balances them based entirely on scale.
The overarching lesson here is that reality is a balance manifold. QM and GR are not opposing truths. They're just partial perspectives on a much larger adaptive learning system.
Yeah.
The future of physics won't be about finding one eternal equation, but rather learning to read how the universe negotiates its own existence.
Man, I want to thank you for joining us on this intense intellectual journey today. You now have a radically dynamic paradigm for looking at the cosmos, where the laws of physics are not etched in stone, but written in a constantly adapting
A
algorithm.
living system, almost.
Exactly. But I want to leave you with one final unmentioned extrapolation to mull over.
Oh, here we go.
We've established that the universe's physical laws are learned dynamics, right? That they adapt to scale and resolve paradoxes via a computational reset, a free will activation, when the conflicting parameters become too intense. So, what happens if humanity eventually builds technology that forces extreme conflicting scale parameters simultaneously?
Oh, wow.
Could we, in a massive future particle accelerator, accidentally force the universe into an unsolvable paradox? Could we trigger a local free will activation and force the universe to learn an entirely new set of physical laws right in front of us?